Shout out to Claritev for supporting this episode and providing us with the samples. I've been battling allergies for years now. Let me tell you, they've been a real ordeal in my life. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to ClaritinD.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. I felt like, here's a person that's changing the world, and what am I doing? And again, this is in March of 18. 18 months after this, I ended up leaving my position as CEO of my company because I felt like there was something missing in my life and I wanted to do more. That was the beginning of something that says a lot about just where I was mentally. I was 39 at the time, just a couple of weeks away from turning 40. And I did feel that way for a while until I didn't. And then until I realized that, you know, all Elon Musk is someone that's leaned into his gifts and unapologetically went after what he wants to create in the world. And I think that the minute we give ourselves permission to do that, that's when the world opens up for us to give us more of what we want. What's up, gang? Welcome to The Greatness Machine. I'm your host, Darius Mrshazadeh. I'm so pumped to have you here with me. Now listen, The Greatness Machine, we're about two things. Number one, people who are living their passions. And number two, those who are creating greatness in the world and doing both of these things despite the odds against them. Each episode, we're going to feature interviews with game changers, and business leaders, you know, telling us their origin stories, what made them tick, what got them to where they are now. Why? So it can help you step into your greatness within your life, your business, and your career. Occasionally, you might hear a few solo episodes from myself, moi as I say, as I leverage my 20 years of entrepreneurship as a CEO and founder to help you grow and level up in your journey to scale your life and your business. So come be a fly on the wall, enjoy the conversation, and I'm stoked to have you here with me. So today's episode is a very unique story I'd like to tell, and it's going to end where I talk about the time I met Elon Musk, but I want to start the story actually early on. I'm going to take you back to 1984-85, Fullerton, California. And so I grew up, for those of you that don't know this, I grew up in Orange County, California, and I grew up in a middle-class neighborhood originally and moved in Fullerton, California. And then ended up moving to Anaheim Hills, California, which is more of an upper middle class area. But my family, my father immigrated to the United States after the revolution in Iran. My mom, American, she's Italian American. And my father ended up coming to the United States with my mom after the revolution. And my family bought a small home in Fullerton. It was a little 1,200 square foot off Flower Street in Fullerton. And it was a small little yellow house. So right around that same time, in LA, there was a serial killer named Richard Ramirez who was basically breaking into people's homes and murdering them. I mean, torturing them, murdering them, doing all this crazy stuff. Now, this is like 1984-85. I'm born in 1978, which means I was 6-7 years old. I have a twin brother, and we lived in a small little yellow house off Flower Street in Fullerton. And it turned out that this guy, Richard Ramirez, and some of you, if you Google him, you'll see like there's this guy's like kind of like, he looks like a freaking serial killer. I mean, he's like, he was a really famous serial killer around the time. This is before Jeffrey Dahmer. But this guy's like one of the most famous serial killers of all time. He terrorized LA and the Los Angeles area during that time frame and some areas in California. And what he would do is he'd break into these homes and he would kill people, you know, torture them and kill them. And he, in particular, they were trying to figure out like what his MO was. And one of the things that they realized with him was he was targeting yellow homes near the freeway. I'm going to repeat that again, yellow homes near the freeway. So I happen to live right where the 91 freeway and the 5 freeway like intersect, border of Buena Park and Fullerton. If you go Google Fullerton, California on a map, you'll see what I'm talking about. You can even type in Flower Street if you want. And I lived in a yellow house. Now, in my little six-year-old brain, I'm thinking, I probably didn't say these words, but I know how I thought about it. I said, holy shit, I live in a yellow house near the freeway. like not far away from where these things are happening. I probably live like within 30 miles of where these murders are happening, probably even less in some cases. So I, in my little seven-year-old brain, was absolutely convinced that Richard Ramirez was going to come to my house and murder me and my family. I was just absolutely convinced in my little preschool kindergarten brain. And so was my brother, by the way. So I have a twin brother, Mike. I couldn't even just like keep this to myself. Now, back then, you have the LA Times, you have the Orange County Register newspaper, and on the front cover is like a sketch of this dude that looks scary as fuck, who's breaking into people's homes and murdering them. So I, again, am fully convinced that this is going to happen to me and my family. Fast forward to one night, my family and I come home, and our house, our front door is open. I've come home from kindergarten, and my front door is wide open. Can you imagine like coming home and you and your family, your parents have been at work all day and you guys drive home and the front door is wide open? Like, what is the first thing you think? You're like, who the fuck is in my house? Right? Who the hell just broke into my home? Like, that's what I was thinking, right? And we go inside and our entire house is ransacked. And the police show up, and my brother and I, in our little six-year-old minds, were like, Richard Ramirez just came into our house. He tried to come in and kill my family. And so we came up with a narrative that Richard the Robber, we called him Richard the Robber, had broken into our house to come and murder our family. I was 100% convinced of this. Now, I'll fast forward to let you know that eventually they captured this guy. They didn't know what he looked like exactly. There's no like video cameras or anything like that like there is nowadays. There was just these like weird sketches. Like some of the victims did not get murdered. They fled or they got away. You know, they were attempted murders. And so there's these like really scary sketches of this guy. But they ended up capturing the guy. It became this media sensation where this guy's like saying crazy shit, like making references to Disneyland. He draws pentagrams on his hand and, you know, he's hamming it up in front of the media and he ends up going on death row. And anyway, long story short, I remember this look. I'd see him on the news when they captured him. And I remember this look in his eyes, and it was the look like he had no soul in his eyes. And I was like flabbergasted by this. It was burned into my brain that, wow, that's a scary guy. And look at there's no soul. He just looks like that became in my brain what a serial killer looks like. And that's what their eyes look like. So I'm going to fast forward and press the pause button there. I'm going to fast forward to 2018, March of 2018. And I moved to Austin, Texas in May of 17. And I bought a piece of land here with my wife and my family. And it was to build a home. And so we broke ground in October of 17. We started designing the house in March of 17. And by March of 18, we were mid-construction. And in March of 18, it's South by Southwest here in Austin happened, what used to, pre-pandemic used to happen every March. But back then it was happening. And I had a friend come to town. It was a good friend of mine. I went on semester at sea with him. His name was Tom Wellington. And Tom came to town for two reasons. Number one, he came to town to see his grandmother who lives in an older folks community outside of Austin. He grew up in outside of DC but lives in LA, and he's a very powerful, important agent in the world of TV writing. And he also comes for South by Southwest. And so he reached out to me and said, hey man, I'm in town for South by and see my grandmother. Do you want to grab breakfast? As he knew, I had moved to Austin just previously the year before. And we've been staying in touch over the years since we graduated college. We didn't go to the same college, but we traveled abroad together. We did Semester at Sea together, which is a really cool program, by the way. Semesteratsea.org. I'm plugging you right now. Anyone who wants to do something amazing, go check that out. But going back to the story, so we had traveled around the world. We were 20 years old together on this boat, built a long-term relationship. We're still, you know, friends to this day. And he says, hey, do you want to go grab breakfast? I said, yeah, great. Let's grab breakfast. There's this really cool place by my house called Picnic. And so we go to Picnic, which is like a paleo breakfast place. And we eat breakfast and just catch up and we're hanging out. After breakfast, he said, hey, you want to go see my house? I'm building a house. Now, the cool thing was I rented the house next door to the home I was building, which is a story in and of itself. But so I'm living next door to the construction site. I rented the house that happened to be up for rent next door to the house I'm building, my neighbor's house. And so we go, he says hi to my wife, Mariah, the kids. And I said, hey, well, let me show you the house. So we go next door and we start looking at the house, and it's all sticks at this point. You know, it's like the lumber's up, but it's definitely like a construction site. And so we're walking around my house. And if you can imagine it, it's, you know, it's like drywall's up. It's a massive, you know, this is like, it's going to be done in December and we're in March, 9 months away from the finished home being built. It takes about 14 months. So we're just in the beginning parts of construction. And so I'm kind of walking him from room to room, and I'm like, this is going to be the living room and this is going to be the kitchen. And I see him, he keeps looking down at his phone. And I'm like, and I just got to say this, first of all, like, I hate when people look at their phones when you're in the middle talking to them. It's like, in my mind, it's like there can be nothing more inappropriate than that. Like, people pull out their phones during dinner, I'll ask them to put their phones away. For me, it's just like, hey, when you're there, be present, you know, show some attention, be in the moment. Don't, you know, your phone, it's going to be there 10 minutes from now. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. In the world of successful partnerships, names like Procter & Gamble, Ben & Jerry, and supply and demand echo through business history. But when it comes to growing your business, who are the perfect partners? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. We're talking from launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to did we hit $1 million order stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling shipping supplies or promoting productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Picture this, a time when my business was facing a tough hurdle and I wasn't sure how to break through. But then came the breakthrough moment, a game changer that took my business to the next level. You know, what I absolutely adore about Shopify is its unparalleled ability to adapt and grow with your ambitions. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 75 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Darius, all lowercase. That's D-A-R-I-U-S. Go to shopify.com/Darius now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Darius. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with the samples. Hey there, friends. It's Darius from Shazda here, and I have a little confession to make. You see, I've been battling allergies for years now, and let me tell you, they've been a real ordeal in my life. Allergies have been my constant companion. They stop me from fully enjoying the little things in life, canceling plans with friends because of sudden allergy attack, to missing out on an outdoor activity because of sneezing fits. Allergies have been a real nuisance. Luckily, for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing and a runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I've been a Claritin D user for many, many years now, and let me tell you, it's made a world of difference. Since I started using Claritin D, my symptoms have improved dramatically. Now I can breathe easier, enjoy outdoor activities without worrying about sneezing fits, and truly live my life without being held back by allergies. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter now. You don't even need a prescription. Go to ClaritinD.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear, use as directed. So finally, you know, he's like, hey man, you know, like, he was looking at his phone and I'm getting a little bit more perturbed as he's doing this. I don't realize what's happening though. And he says, hey man, I'm so sorry, but I got a text from my assistant. You know, one of my clients is, he's here in town for South by Southwest, and he's interviewing Elon Musk in like 30 minutes downtown at the Moody Theater. The Moody Theater is where they film Austin City Limits. And so he's like, hey, do you want to go, you want to go see Elon Musk talk? And I was like, fuck yeah, I want to go see Elon Musk talk. And so I go, well, let me go check my wife, because it's like Sunday, 10 o'clock in the morning. So I go next door and I ask Mariah, I said, hey, do you mind if, you know, I go see Elon Musk talk with Tom, as one of his clients is interviewing him. And he said, she said, yeah, sure, go for it. So we get in an Uber, and we go head downtown. I live just north of downtown. I live in central Austin, just north of downtown. So we get an Uber, leave the construction site. I was not annoyed at this point that he had been checking his phone. In fact, I was happy that he had been. And I'm like, hell yeah, man, I'm an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur for, at this point, 18 years of my life. Like, dude, going and seeing Elon Musk talk is, you know, especially in like, you know, not a huge event, a couple thousand people. That's kind of cool. So we're in the car. He's like, yeah, you know, my client is Jonah Nolan, Christopher Nolan's brother, and he's the showrunner of Westworld. It's him and his wife. And they created Westworld. I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, I'm not a big TV person. I'd watch Westworld, but I didn't. And I'm not a big like fame person. I don't really get starstruck or anything like that. And so, yeah, that's cool. Like, you know, like whatever's getting us down there. So we head down there and he's like telling me kind of about Jonah and his, it's an interesting story. The guy created Memento. He wrote Memento and his brother turned it into a movie like when he was in college at Georgetown. So I'm like, oh, this is cool. This is his client. Maybe we'll meet him. And so we go into the Moody and one of the assistants comes out and grabs us and we get into like the VIP balcony and we're hanging out there and it's like a 90-minute talk and it's super interesting. And Elon Musk comes on stage, Jonah Nolan comes on stage and they do this 90-minute talk. They're talking about the Boring Company and going to Mars. You can actually Google it if you want and you can watch, you know, just Google like South by Southwest 2018, Elon Musk, Jonah Nolan. And you'll see the exact talk we saw. So it was a really insightful 90 minutes. And it was kind of a cool, just a, as an entrepreneur, like just to witness, you know, someone like Elon, who's at this point was not what he is at the moment. He was obviously an iconic CEO and entrepreneur, but not the richest guy on earth, that's for sure. And I'll actually be getting to what was going on in his life in just a few moments. So we get done with watching the talk and we go to leave the theater. And he's like, well, hey man, maybe we should go backstage and you can meet my client. You can meet Elon. And I'm like, he's like, do you want to do that? I said, oh yeah, fuck yeah. I want to do that. I want to meet Elon Musk. And again, I'm not a fan. I don't own a Tesla. I mean, I'm a fan of him as being a cool entrepreneur doing some iconic shit, but like, I'm not like a person that's like, oh man, I got to go meet Elon Musk. Like that's my life dream. Like I never really thought twice about it before that. And so we go to the backstage and we go basically the security's there and we said, hey, can we go, you know, he says, hey, my client Jonah just spoke with Elon on stage. I'd like to go back and see him. They said, oh, she like, you know, pulls up her little walkie talkie. She's like, oh no, they left already. So he obviously hit the Hollywood side of my buddy Tom comes out and he's like, yeah, right. He texts because he knew they were back there. He texts somebody. 30 seconds later, the assistant comes up, same girl that brought us into the Moody Theater comes from backstage and we end up going backstage. Hey gang, Darius Mashaza here. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. So listen, I know we have a lot of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business owners out there that listen to the show. And right now, if you're one of those folks and you're doing, let's call it a bare minimum of 7 figures and above in your business, then what I'd like to do is give you an offer right now. How would you like to get your hands on the frameworks that I actually used to scale my last company, which started off as a small little 7-figure company to over $100 million in annual revenue? And I did it in less than 2 years, and I did it without costly growing pains, without the headaches that you usually experience when you are scaling your business. So if you're one of those folks and you're trying to grow your company, but you're finding yourself stuck in that day to day, if you're one of the listeners and you're getting grinded, this is your respite from getting grinded on in your business, you're listening to our show and you're dealing with the breakdowns, you're dealing with inefficiencies, and you know, you got that firefighter suit on and all the problems lining on your desk, and you're not doing the work you're supposed to be doing, which is working on the business instead of in it, then what I'm about to talk to you about for the next, call it 60 seconds, this is precisely for you. Real quickly though, if you don't already know this about me, prior to starting the Greatness Machine, I spent 20 years of my life as a founder and CEO of real world companies. And during that time, I actually grew my companies to over $1.2 billion with a B in bootstrap revenue. In fact, we scaled my last company from 30 to 1,000 employees, and we did it in just 36 months. And we did it all by using a 3-step framework that I call my Scale Map Method. So that, of course, brings us to the purpose of this here mid-roll ad. Yes, this is what the podcast producers call these things. Recently, I created a 30-minute training, and what it does is it walks you step-by-step through all of my Scale Map Method frameworks, and you can watch it right now for free when you go to dariusscale.com. That's my first name, Darius, scale, S-C-A-L-E.com. And what these frameworks do is they fix, they simplify, and they streamline every single aspect of your business. And they do it without the need for complicated scaling systems that are typically way too difficult and way too time consuming for a busy CEO like you and from like myself was to implement. So if you want a simple and you want a proven path to remove yourself from the day-to-day operations, just like I did, so that you can do what you're supposed to be doing, which is leading your company to record growth without the headaches and without the growing pains, go to DariusScale.com. That's www.DariusScale.com. Watch the short video, and I'll see you guys on the inside. Now, back to the show. I had been backstage in the Moody once with the CEO group of mine, and so I was familiar with what it looked like. And it's this cool, you know, what you would imagine a backstage looks like. There's a lot of posters of people that are performed there. And we go back there, and it's absolutely empty. I mean, like empty as empty can be, except for six people. Me, Tom, Elon, his brother, Jonah, and his wife, the other showrunner for Westworld. Now, a showrunner, for those of you that don't know, is basically like the CEO of a show, the creator, the writer. I think it might be different by show, but a showrunner means that's your show. You own it. It's the highest position you can have in a show. So they own the show Westworld, and Elon had come into town because there was a big Westworld exhibit going on outside of Boston, and they're promoting it at South by Southwest. And so it's the four of them standing in like a semicircle. Tom and I walk up. And so if you can imagine, you're in a group of six people, not very large. And so to my right is Tom. To his right is Jonah's wife, who I'm forgetting her name right now, but she's this famous TV person who was one of the creators of Westworld. Her husband, Jonah Nolan, who's the creator of Westworld, co-creator of Westworld, showrunner of Westworld, and brother of Christopher Nolan, the guy that did Batman and all this stuff. And again, like, I don't really watch a lot of movies and TV and stuff. So for me, I was like, yeah, whatever. That's cool. It's like, they have an interesting job. To Jonah's left was Elon Musk's brother, whose name is escaping me right now. To his left is Elon Musk, who's standing right next to me. So I'm standing like literally like you're at a party in a little circle of six. And I'm standing right next to Elon Musk. So I noticed two. So first of all, we shake hands, pleasantries. And then I look and I notice something right away. Dude, the guy is super fucking tall. And I don't think most people like realize this. And I've said it to multiple people now who I've told the story to privately in my life. And everyone's always shocked to hear that he's really tall. Now, I will say this. They were in like kind of Texas garb. So they're all wearing cowboy boots and hats and shit because they're, you know, from LA at the time, and they're coming to hang out in Austin, and they're doing their Austin thing. So I didn't put two and two together until later, but that he probably had a couple extra inches because of these cowboy boots he's wearing. But dude, I'm 6 feet tall, and this guy's at least 5 or 6 inches taller than me with his boots on. So, and so is his brother. And I was like, man, these guys are tall. Like, I never knew it. And I think with Elon, he has that like computer science, like hunched over thing going on. So you don't necessarily think he's tall, but no, the guy was tall. He was at least 6'2 or 6'3 without boots on. And so I was like surprised by it. That's number one. And number two, I'll get to in a second. It was something I also noticed a couple moments later, but we're standing in the circle, and I, for the first time in my life, and for listeners of this show, you'll be surprised to hear this. I had nothing to say. It was like shocking. And I realized the normal pleasantries get thrown out the window. Like, hi, I'm Darius. What's your name? Or, hi, I'm Darius. What do you do for a living? I just came and watched the guy talk for 3 hours. It's one of the most famous people on earth. The guy that's the other guy in the room is the guy who was just talking to him. They know that we know who they are. So I was like, I have nothing to say. So I said, hey, I'm Darius. Nice to meet you. Quiet. Now, thank God I'm there with Tom, who this is not his first rodeo. He's a power agent in Hollywood. The guy is not used to like hanging out with celebrity or people that you already know who they are. They know you know who they are. And everyone in that circle knew we knew who they were, even Elon Musk's brother. Why? Because during this talk, at the end of the talk, again, you can watch this on YouTube, they call his brother on stage and they bust out a guitar and they sing My Little Buttercup from the movie The Three Amigos. And it's Elon, Jonah, and Elon's brother singing My Little Buttercup. It's like, My Little Buttercup. You can hear it. I'm not really familiar with the movie, nor was I then. But it was the whole crowd singing along. And so it was this like, funny moment during the whole talk. So Tom, being the pro that he is, goes right into it, goes and starts just juices them on the My Little Buttercup moment. He goes, "Oh, that was brilliant, you guys saying the My Little Buttercup," and everyone starts like laughing. And everyone except Elon, who's just like, you could tell is like, doesn't want to be there. And so him and Jonah, though, Jonah's Tom's client, you know, client patron relationship, right? Like they're friends, right? These are obviously friends. And so is his wife. His wife is a client of Tom's. And so they're all friends. They all know each other. So Tom kind of takes the reins and starts doing his thing. He's one of probably the most charismatic people I know. And he's getting everyone, you know, kind of like laughing and talking. And so Elon and I are standing there quiet. But his brother is talking about singing the song, and Jonah's chiming in, and the wife's kind of laughing, and Tom's talking. And all the while I'm sitting there, and for the first time in my life, I A, have nothing to say, and B, I'm insecure about it. And I'm like, I can't believe I have nothing to say. I'm like, I can't just be the weird guy that stands here and doesn't say anything. Like that can't be. And so I learned a couple lessons at the moment. Number one is, we should all probably think a little bit differently about how we approach our conversations instead of the pleasantries or the generic, what do you do or what's your name or you know, where are you from, right? So at that moment I said, you know, I need to build a stronger library of questions for when I meet people. And it was a great learning moment for me. But the biggest, most important thing had yet to happen during this interaction. So quietly standing there thinking about what am I going to say to what is to become the richest man on earth, the most iconic entrepreneur, probably since Steve Jobs, I glance up at the man and I look and I notice something and it strikes me like right in the heart. I notice his eyes. Elon Musk's eyes like stood out to me in a way that like it was like unexplainable. But two thoughts went through my head right then and there. Wow. He has no glimmer in his eyes. And it's hard to explain, but it's a thing that most, like, I'd never seen it before. There was no glimmer in the eye, like nothing. And it was like just black. And I hesitate to say this right now, but I'm going to say it. It was dead. He had like this dead, like these dead eyes. So that was my first thought. I was like, wow, his eyes have no soul. And I just had never seen it before. I didn't know what to do with it. And then my next thought was the shocker. I laugh because it's like, I can't believe I thought this. This just shows you how perverted my mind is. And I go to myself, this is all happening in microseconds. Oh, he has dead eyes. And I've seen those eyes before. And right away, I realized that I had seen him before when I was 6 years old, or 7 years old, when they'd captured Richard Ramirez in Southern California after his murdering spree. And he had the same eyes. And I was like, holy shit, man. Elon Musk have the same, he has serial killer eyes? like this is all happening in real time. I have two thoughts going on. I have those thoughts going on in my brain while I'm like, I can't not say anything. So look, I'm going to be honest. There's no way I was going to say, hey, Elon, you know, has anyone ever told you a serial killer eyes? I had like three thoughts going on. The third thought was like, man, I really want to get a picture with Elon Musk. But I think Tom would be super embarrassed if I asked. So I can't ask. So I seize my moment, which is, this is a kind of a lame ending to this story, but it's, you got to know the ending because you heard the rest of the story. And I just say to him, I go, so where are you guys staying? What hotel are you guys staying at? You know, and they're like, oh, we're staying at the Four Seasons, which is right across the street from where we had just seen the talk. I go, oh, cool. Now I ask the next lamest question I could ask. For those of you that don't know, Austin is very famous for its barbecue. And so I said, so have you guys had any barbecue since you've been in town? Which is, Austin's famous for its barbecue. So it wasn't the worst question. And they said, yeah, we had some barbecue. And there's a joint here that's ultra famous, which is Aaron Franklin's place. It's called Franklin's Barbecue. And this is like, you know, Anthony Bourdain and, you know, Barack Obama, you know, famously have eaten here. And it was voted number one barbecue in America. And if I have any listeners that are barbecue people, you'll be like, yeah, dude, Franklin's is it's a famous place. Aaron Franklin was voted number one pit master in the United States. So it's like asking someone if they've been to like the most famous any restaurant. So I asked, I said, hey, what did you guys have Franklin's? And they all look at each other like, oh, why is this guy asking us these questions? And one of them just, you know, sheepishly answers, we don't know. Like, someone just brought it for us. And that was the end of my questions. I said, oh, cool. So I think I asked, well, when are you guys leaving? And when leaving town, they said, oh, yeah, like today. And that was the end of it. And I was like, oh, man. I said something. But it wasn't my finest moment. My takeaway was, man, I really need to step up my, when people know who they are game, questions. But I never been put in that situation before. It was the first time in my life I'd been in a room full of people who they knew, I knew they knew who they were, right? And they didn't know who I was. So we ended up, you know, kind of saying our goodbyes. We left. And so we're leaving the Moody. I took a picture of my hand. I was like, man, I got to memorialize this somehow. You know, this is the hand that just shook Elon Musk's hand. Now, I will say this. A couple years later, you know, I was telling this story to a friend of mine, Steve Sims, who knows Elon. And he agreed. He said, you know, the Elon's got a little bit of that going on. This, like, he said, he thought of it as maybe it was like a being on the spectrum type of deal, which that's obviously some people believe that he has Asperger's. And maybe that's what that was. But I looked it up and I had found out when I was talking to Steve that in March of 2018, it came out in the news right after that, in April of 18, it came out, this was the same time that Elon Musk was actually sleeping on the floor of his factory trying to fix production issues. And they were like weeks away from actually running out of money. So in his defense, even though I will stick with my story that Elon Musk had serial killer eyes that day that looked exactly like Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker's eyes. He had been sleeping on the floor of the Gigafactory trying to fix issues and almost running out of money. So if you were ever going to look like a serial killer, that was your moment. So I did say to Tom, though, I said, would it have been awkward if I had asked to take a picture? And he's like, oh, yeah, thank you for not doing that. I said, yeah, I know. That would have been a pretty big JV move. So the lessons learned, number one, maybe we all need to start rethinking about how do we greet people that we don't know and what questions do we ask? Because the small talk stuff, although easy and lazy, may put you in a bind because you never know when you may be having breakfast with a friend and 2 hours later meeting Elon Musk, which is precisely what happened to me. And I didn't have the best questions to ask. And so I did feel like it was a bit of a missed opportunity. But it was interesting to meet someone who is changing the world in that way and to be in their presence and to see that, man, this is a human being just like you and me. But to have that experience and I still don't have an answer for it, is that why did he have that? Why did he not have that glimmer in his eye? Was it pure fatigue or was there something else there? I guess we'll all just have to wonder. And if you have met him and can give me an answer to that, please feel free to email me. You're at the show. But anyway, I just wanted to share that story. It's one of my more intriguing entrepreneurial stories. I'll tell you that I ended up telling the story to one of my CEO forums that I'm in. And I ended up having this moment right afterwards that is probably a conversation for another time because it's a deeper story. But I was really excited about it right after it happened. And then I got into my Uber to head to go meet up with another friend of mine. And I had this sinking feeling right after. And it was this terrible feeling that I've since now really done a lot of work on, but it was like, man, I am such a loser. And I couldn't believe, like, I felt that way for a couple of weeks afterwards. And the reason I felt that way was I felt like here's a person that's changing the world. And what am I doing? And again, this is in March of 18, you know, about 18 months after this, I ended up leaving my position as CEO of my company because I felt like there was something missing in my life and I wanted to do more. But yeah, that was the beginning of something that says a lot about just where I was mentally. I was 39 at the time, just a couple of weeks away from turning 40. And I did feel that way for a while until I didn't. And then until I realized that, you know, all Elon Musk is someone that's leaned into his gifts and unapologetically went after what he wants to create in the world. And I think that the minute we give ourselves permission to do that, that's when the world opens up for us to give us more of what we want. So that's what I'm trying to do now these days. And it's serving me well. And if I could give myself advice for that day, it would have been to not compare myself, because comparison is what do they say? It's like a poison, you know? and it's and compared to spare, as they say. And for me, it's if I could give myself advice for that day, it would be number one, have a better opening line for Elon Musk. Number two, you don't have to have an answer as to why he looks like a serial killer. And number three, compared to spare, brother, you are not Elon Musk. You have different talents. You need to go live your talents, live in your strengths, go create the beauty in the world with what you've been given, and the world will be a better place if you can do that. So I'll sign off with that. I hope you guys enjoyed the story. Looking forward to our next episode of The Greatness Machine. Take care. Bye-bye.
You are listening to The Greatness Machine, and that's a wrap for today. Listen, if you love what you heard, subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform that you're tuning in on so that you don't miss any of our future episodes. We have tons of great people coming on, and we're stoked to have you here to enjoy it with us. Leave us a review. Tell us what you love most about this particular episode. We love getting the reviews. We love to see what you guys love most. And if this particular episode, you know, made you think of someone who's leveling up in their business and in their life, print screen, share it with them. Leaders are the best givers. And after all, we're all here to support and grow with each other. And in case you want to see some of the fun behind the scenes shots or some of the things that we're doing, I'm actually writing about this in my weekly newsletter. Go to www.therealdarius.com and subscribe to my newsletter. We're talking about fun things like business and life and mindfulness and cryptocurrencies and gosh, I don't even know, everything and anything, but it's tons of fun stuff I write about. I try to get it out on a weekly basis. You can subscribe at www.therealdarius.com. And with that said, look, thank you guys so much. Appreciate you. I love you. Peace. We're out of here. See you guys on the next one.
Hey there. What's up, everybody? Darius here, and I'm here to tell you about my main man, Robert Glazer, and his amazing show, The Elevate Podcast. Robert is a buddy of mine, and his Elevate Podcast is second to none. So The Elevate Podcast, what is it? It's a conversational show where Robert sits down with world-class CEOs, New York Times best-selling authors, and the best thought leaders and performers in their fields. You're going to hear stories about triumph, failure, resilience, more importantly, all the learnings along the way. So some of his guests include James Clear from Atomic Habits, Angela Duckworth from Grit, Susan Cain, author of Quiet, Morning Brew founder and CEO Alex Lieberman, and hundreds more. Every episode shares valuable insights in how to expand your capabilities as a leader and align your life and work to your most important principles. Robert's goal is that you're going to leave each episode inspired and with plenty of next steps that you can put into practice, into your life. And look, if you're looking to elevate your life, your leadership, and your business, Elevate is the show for you. It's like I always say, we as podcast listeners, we listen to 6 shows, not just mine, but Bob should be one of yours. Subscribe to the Elevate Podcast today on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. Check it out.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap, Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast, or Yap, like it's often called by my Yap fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.